Say hallelujah! Pack up the babies and grab the old ladies, because here comes the colonel. Hallelujah!
Oh, wow, can't hardly pay to get an introduction like that. In just a minute, we're going to get back to our interview with Michael Quinn, the Vice President and Chief Technology Officer for Encore Electric Delivery. But right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information we have here on the set to answer today's query.
Well, to the fountain of useless information. How can I help you?
Yes, I see we have awakened the spirit of the fountain who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all for a price. Well, we did throw in the coins. All right. Oh, spirit of the fountain, here is today's query. Angel Falls. Angel Falls, the world's tallest at 3,212 feet, is located in which South American country? Angel Falls, where is it?
I have given you my... Now you may tell.
Aha! You cannot fool the spirit of the fountain. If you said Angel Falls, the world's largest falls, is located in Brazil, you are absolutely wrong. It is Venezuela. Yeah, Angel Falls is in Venezuela. Okay, all right. Now back to our program. All right, the wild sounds of the Science News Studio Jazz Band takes us back to our interview with Michael Quinn, Vice President and Chief Technology Officer for Encore Electric Delivery. In the last half hour, Michael was telling us that he sees a really bright future for the electrical grid, even though it's been around for like 150 years, and what many people are calling it pretty archaic.
Encore continuing to invest in the value of the grid. Part of that investment is in the technology space, and so that's effort that we've got going on right now is to understand how do we do it safely and how do we effectively integrate it, because let's face it, the grid is changing and our customers' needs are changing, and quite honestly, Encore's moving forward to understand how we need to change as well and how we integrate those new technologies into the grid.
Well, Michael, you don't see then the grid being archaic. I mean, we've got so much movement on people and businesses and being off of the grid. I've got a friend in Colorado who's totally off the grid. He's up in the mountains. He's built his house out of recycled tires, and he's got solar and wind and is not connected to the grid whatsoever. So if there is a movement and a trend of this, of even office buildings having wind turbines on their roof and solar collectors and that sort of thing, to do away with the grid entirely. There's a lot of people like to do that. Does that put Encore out of business then, or do you see a future in that direction?
I see a migration, as you call it, toward people wanting to choose how their energy needs get met. Some people, I think, are going to stay with what I call the historic grid, and they're just looking for the lowest energy cost they can get to meet their energy needs, to keep their home cool, to keep their lights on, to charge their cell phone, or the Dairy Queen, to make sure that their product's coming out, you know, timely and of the quality that they want. So I see there's going to be legacy folks who utilize the grid in that fashion. I also see that there's going to be folks who elect to change that energy use profile. Maybe they're going to defer some of their own energy needs by self-producing, whether that's through a fuel cell or rooftop photovoltaic or a mini wind turbine. And they're going to try and offset some of their needs from the grid. But what's kind of interesting in that world, there'll be a small segment that do separate totally from the grid, but more, by and large, I think most of those folks are not going to be in a position to totally offset all their needs, and so they're still going to have a connectivity to the grid. And some of those folks, quite honestly, are going to be sophisticated. that when they choose that they've got a surplus of energy beyond their own needs, they're going to want to sell that back into the grid and get compensated for it. So what's actually going to happen is I see the grid being more valuable because now you've not only have a transaction, a bi-directional flow of energy on the transmission side, you're going to have it on the distribution side. And now we're talking about a different level of complexity, a different engineering challenge to come up with of how are all these point sources going to be integrated in the grid, and how do you allow this bi-directional flow of energy at the distribution level, which quite honestly, it originally wasn't contemplated to be. So I see people still connected, but I see the value of the grid changing.
Wow, that's really an exciting future that you're pointing out there, and it certainly helps illustrate that you have a very intricate job there with Encore and staying on top of all these things.
The way I think about it is don't assume that you know what the customers want. Have that conversation. Look out there and don't just try and give them a product that you've always given them. Try and give them a product that they need and they value. And if we continue to invest in the grid, I think that's going to be a valuable resource that they embrace.
All right. Well, you've been very generous. Michael Quinn, Vice President, Chief Technology Officer, Encore Electric Delivery, on which we depend upon so much in our homes and our businesses. Thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, right now I want to introduce you to somebody who's really, really fun. Abby Kohut. Now, that name may ring a bell with you because Abby is known on the web as Absolutely Abby. She's the president of Staffing Symphony, LLC, and the author of Absolutely Abby, 101 Job Search Secrets. Abby's on a mission. She wants to help 1 million job seekers, and she's currently driving around the United States on a nationwide tour to accomplish that goal, and Metrocon is very lucky to have her as a guest speaker October 22nd at the Arlington Convention Center. You can learn more about that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen there, there's a link to the website for Metrocon. But in the meantime, we are lucky because we have Abby with us right here in the flesh. Welcome to the program, Abby Kohut.
Thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Now, you're responsible for helping to hire about 10,000 people in 8 industries and all careers over the past 20 years or so. So you really, really, really have got some great tips for us. What are some of the things that you're planning to cover when you speak to the engineers at Metrocon?
Well, I have 2 topics, actually. One of them is about how to expose the hidden job market. And right now, there are so many jobs available, but people don't know about them, and that is the hidden job market. So I'm going to be teaching people how to find those elusive hidden jobs. But for those people that are not job seekers, I'm going to be teaching people that are either introverts or people that really just don't like to network. I'm going to be teaching them how networking can be fun as well as easier than you think. So people need to come see either one or both of those presentations.
All right. It's I'm so excited to hear about that. It's going to be lots of fun to hear your inside secrets and without giving away all of the things that you're going to be talking about, can you give us an insight about this hidden job market? I mean, I would think that people that are looking for employees are putting the word out just everywhere that they want to hire somebody. But you say there's a hidden market. Are these good jobs or are these little obscure things like, pulling weeds and that sort of stuff?
No. So you think that employers want to tell everybody about their open jobs, but what they really want to do is they want to get referrals from people in the industry. And so they're not necessarily putting up ads for a variety of reasons. So like one of the reasons is that they don't want their competition to know that they're looking for someone. So if let's say they have a vice president job open, let's say it's VP of engineering, They don't necessarily want their competition to know that they have an opening for the VP of engineering job. So that would be a reason why they wouldn't blast it all over the place. So jobs are very much available. The economy is definitely back, and plenty of jobs. The problem is that you don't necessarily know about each and every job that's open because they're not advertised everywhere. So I'm going to be teaching people a bunch of secrets of ways to find those hidden jobs.
So the old adage that it's who you know that counts is really important, and if someone is not networking on a regular basis, then they don't have any way of knowing what jobs are available. Is that the point you're going to be making?
That is exactly the point. Networking is more important now than it has ever been in my lifetime. It is huge, and it's not just networking live, it's also networking online using social media, etc. But you have to be everywhere. Just like employers, in theory, have to be everywhere, but they're not everywhere. They're just like telling people about their jobs, and you have to be everywhere so you can meet the people that know about these jobs.
Well, now, by being everywhere, you're suggesting then that people attend trade shows. I guess that's it, or other functions, or what do you mean?
Yeah, no, everywhere, including conferences, trade shows, including networking groups. There are tons of job search networking groups in the Dallas area. So you should be going to all of those groups to meet other job seekers. There are trade associations, so like IEEE has meetings, etc. You need to keep going out, leaving your house, and meet more people. You can even go to, let's say you have a hobby, like let's say you happen to be a Star Trek fan. You might as well go to a Star Trek meetup, and it's not going to be to find a job. It's to just enjoy talking about Star Trek. But when you're there, you might bump into somebody who's working at your ideal company, and that's the whole point about the hidden job market.
Okay, so just working the phones is not enough. We need to get out of the house and circulate and glad hand people and see them, look them in the eye and see them firsthand, because that's more powerful than the telephone. That's what you're stressing?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm not saying you shouldn't do the telephone work, but you should get out of your house and go meet some other people and also do some phone work. But that's less of an issue right now. It's got to be getting out, meeting people, and I'm going to teach you how to do that in both of those sessions.
Okay, good. Now, you've interviewed a lot of job seekers over the years. Do you have a particular one in mind or more in mind of that were so bad that you can't forget them and you would warn people not to do the same things?
I have an entire presentation about that. That's how many things I have. But I'll give you a few of them.
Okay.
So one of them is, do not come into the office and plug your cell phone into my wall. Yeah.
Oh. Plug my cell phone.
Somebody did that.
They plug their cell phone into your wall.
That's right. That's what they did.
Their phone was run down and they thought they were going to get an important call.
Yeah.
Or
that's it. That's exactly it.
That's pretty
so
rude.
That's one. That's just one. But I have many. Okay, so the other one is, if you're going to take notes during the interview, you need to ask permission to take notes, especially if you're an engineer. You might be interviewing for a company, and they might be telling you some proprietary information, so they don't want you to write it down. So they might say, no, I don't want you to take notes. But let's say they do let you take notes. One of the things you have to be careful of is you can't write on the top of your notes, this person is really ugly. Because at the end of the interview, they might just confiscate your notes.
Ah.
That actually happened to two people that I know.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, what a gag
yes.
That would be. Oh, wow. You're giving us some great juicy stuff here.
Yeah, full of these things. Full of these little tidbits.
I can imagine there's been probably lots of mistakes made in the interview session. I heard one person tell me one time that he stood at the desk and did not be seated and wasn't asked to be seated, and he stood for the longest time. And finally, the person behind the desk says, you may sit down. And later on, he was hired, and he was told that that was one of the things that they looked for, to see that the person did not automatically grab the chair without being invited to do so. Have you heard similar things to that?
Wow. You know, what's so funny is I heard about this just last week, and not that story, but I heard that people need to be invited to sit down. I've never heard that before. I mean, I've never heard it, but I've never thought about it as a recruiter, that I usually invite people to sit down. But it's kind of weird. Like, I'm not as formal about those kinds of things. You know, I wouldn't think anything of it if somebody just sits down in the chair. Because when I walk into the office, there's a chair. They know where I'm sitting. They know where they're sitting. It would seem like they can just sit there. But I guess the problem with recruiting and job seeking is that there are very, very few facts about the whole situation. And so you really have to go with your gut feeling. When you hear advice on certain things, you have to decide, does this make sense? And if it does, then go with it. Like, this particular point, I think, makes a lot of sense, that you probably shouldn't sit down because someone might get offended by that.
Well, yeah, just assuming that they want you to stay. It's the same thing when we see people invite themselves to another person's table in a restaurant. And I'm an old-timer, and probably have a few more years on you, but back in my time, the person doing the interviews would often invite to lunch, and would notice what the person drank for lunch. You know, if a person had a drink, and then what kind of a drink that person had. Because they were going to be expected to be at cocktail parties at some other time, and wanted to be sure that person didn't give the company a bad name. I think that's probably changed now, don't you suppose?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would never suggest that anybody have a drink at an interview, ever. So, you know, once you have a drink, you're not quite all there, potentially. So I would never suggest that you do that, and I would always suggest that you not eat spaghetti or something that can get you messy.
Yeah, I could imagine so. Good spaghetti, right? All over that. I imagine so. Good spaghetti all over that nice tie or that nice blouse,
yeah,
or something. That's probably a pretty sloppy thing. Pretty sloppy.
I know. And I wouldn't even drink like a dark beverage, because if it spills, you don't want it to get all over your nice soup.
So I would
avoid coffee and things like that. I would just have water.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a great suggestion, because always, you know, you go into these meetings and people say, would you like some coffee? And
right.
Oftentimes you say yes. And maybe,
yep,
maybe it's not so important in a meeting, but in a job interview, I can see where that would make a pretty big difference. You think the resumes are important? I mean, are there common mistakes that are made when people are doing their resumes?
Yeah, well, there's many mistakes, but one thing that people are confused about is how long a resume should be.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because there is no should. There's no one way to do a resume. There's not a president of resumes. There's no authority on resumes. So you have to make your own decision on what you would like on your resume. So many people are trying to shrink their resume to 2 pages. And when you're an engineer, you probably have a lot of things that you've done, like you've written publications, you've been involved with patents maybe, you've written programs, all kinds of things that you've done. And if you shrink your resume to 2 pages, you miss out on these wonderful keywords, which can be splashed all over your resume, so that recruiters can actually find you. So I always tell people to not shrink their resume just because they think they should.
All right. Well, I'll take that as good advice. But I do recall a guy, in fact, I'll even mention his name because he became a very good friend of mine, Dashuan Feng. He's currently with a university in Taiwan. But this was a number of years ago. I asked him for his resume on a particular project that we were doing. He submitted to me 16 pages. 16 pages.
Yeah.
I was really taken aback, because I gave it to my secretary and I said, would you look through there and see if there's a way we condense this down to a few paragraphs or something? Because we really want to be able to isolate where he fits in around here. And she couldn't do it, and I had to do it. And it was not an easy thing to do. I would suggest that maybe 16 pages is a little overkill.
Yeah, it is. But I know a lot of people in the pharmaceutical industry, and they also have the same thing with publications, patents, all of these things. And what they do is they put all that at the end. So this way, the first few pages, if someone wants a shorter resume, it's just really going to be the first few pages.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I understand why 16 pages might be a lot. But I've seen resumes that long. I have, and it doesn't faze me anymore.
Is there some points that people have to be sure and always do, like look the interviewer in the eye and have a firm handshake? We kind of know those, but what are some of the other things that maybe we should be paying attention to?
Yes, definitely. Well, one thing that's really important is to show passion. And the only way you can show passion is to have passion, and because otherwise we're not going to believe you. So what I would say...
Well, Abby, we're about out of time, and I want to explore that further. I mean, passion, that could be a pretty deep subject, and we don't have much time left in today's program. So maybe you can come back next week and explore that for us just a little more. Abby Kohut is known on the web as Absolutely Abby. She's the president of Staffing Symphony, LLC, and author of Absolutely Abby's 101 Job Search Secrets. It's her mission to go around the country and help a million job seekers get jobs. And she talks everything from networking, which she thinks is absolutely vital, and, of course, the resume. She thinks the resume is going to disappear. Yeah, she'll talk about that, I think, next week. And also, how to make a good presentation when you're standing in front of somebody. Abby's going to be a speaker, along with our earlier guest, Michael Quinn, at the 2015 MetroCon, which is going to be at the Arlington Convention Center October 22nd, for one day only. So you can get immersed in that if you would like to. A lot of neat things going on there, developing and deploying secure systems, cybersecurity, software and systems engineering, emerging technologies, machine intelligence. Woo, that's going to be exciting. Power and energy systems like we're talking about today, and then the biotechnology. So that's going to be MetroCon. You can find out more about MetroCon at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. If you'll go there and go to the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see the MetroCon logo. Click on that logo, and it'll take you right to the MetroCon website. And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to the this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
Think simply. Let your ideas be big picture ideas, and that can be articulated crisply and concisely and simply to the person in the street. And if you can send that kind of an effective message to someone that isn't an expert in your field, and they say, wow, I get it, okay, then chances are you've got something that's worth exploring and developing into, a major project. That's been kind of the watchword that I've, used for myself throughout my career. My name is Michael B. Silovich. I'm currently the Robert D. Black Professor of Engineering at Northeastern University.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you. Bye.